Hey, this morning, Gospel of Matthew, Matthew chapter 27. Don't I get a woohoo, Matthew? Yeah, here we go. Man, Terrence, is that just only his deal, huh? Yeah, it only happens for Terrence. He can give you Genesis. We could go through all of the is and is nots in the whole place, and they'd be woohoo in it. Yeah, right. And he begat this, and somebody begat that, and they had a dog named Sue, and, oh, no, that's not. Well, we sang a country song. I mean, sorry, Terrence, that's older than me. I know that's not impossible, but it is. What I believe. You know, that is something that we sometimes say. We sometimes express ourselves and say, well, that's what I believe. When it comes down to the things of God, you better be able to back it up by the Word of God. You know, we have a lot of great things that we think, a lot of teachings, a lot of people that are saying things, teach you deals, you know, this is a great insight to this, blah, blah, and they go on and on about it. Can you back it up by the Word? And many times that's just not the case. The Word is the Word. And you need to be able to back up everything you believe by the Word. That's why God gave it to us. Well, I believe the Spirit is leading me. The Spirit never leads contrary to the Word of God. Put it down in your book, write it down, keep it in your heart, do whatever you have to do. But if you got something that the Spirit, you say the Spirit's leading, if it's not in the Word of God, it's not. Okay? I want to get that clarified before I begin this morning. I couldn't think of anything else, any better title to give than what I believe, because these are the things that I do believe. In Matthew's Gospel, in the 27th chapter, at verse number 40, there is a statement that is made, and it is a phrase. It's a phrase that is strikingly similar to one that was spoken to Jesus during his trial, during his temptation in the wilderness. And down at verse 40, it says, "And saying, Thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself." And here's the key right here. "If thou be the Son of God, come down from the cross." You remember the statement that was said to him in the wilderness? You remember who made the statement? There was a statement that was made to him and said, "Hey, if you be the Son of God, command these stones be made into bread." Remember that? Remember that statement? That was what was given to him when he was out 40 days in the wilderness fasting. And when he was finished, Satan came to him, tempted him in 3 different places. But that was the statement that was made. If, and it's always that word at the front, if thou be the Son of God, I want you to do this. Do a parlor trick for me. Make these stones turn to bread. If you be the Son of God, come down from that cross, or you're not the Son of God. That's the implication. Well, why shouldn't he have made the stones into bread? He was hungry. He fulfilled the 40 days. Why should he not have come down from that cross? Why should Jesus suffer the horrors of the cross? I mean, if you be the Son of God. Do you recognize that? Those are the words that Satan uses, and he's still using them. He's still saying it to the church today. He's still saying that in our natural person, he's always saying, well, just command these stones be made into bread. You know, that's crazy. Why don't you just do this? Why don't you get along with the world and bring in those things and the church would run smooth? There'd be no conflict if you would do those things. I don't doubt the source, never have doubted the source, and I don't doubt who's saying it. I don't doubt that God allows the lips of even those believers to make statements at times. Statements that in their own minds that this is very likable, this is very resourceful. But you remember who made the statement of, if you be the Son of God, you ought to come down from that cross? The high priest, you remember that? It was the high priest, it was the Pharisees, it was the scribes, but it was also the common people. It was the people that went past that cross. They watched the suffering of the 3 that were dying, and they would make a statement such as that. Well, if you're this, you ought to be able to do this. What were they? They were Satan's mouthpiece. That's exactly what they've been. You realize that at a time, Satan's mouthpiece was actually an apostle. If you could look back into Matthew's gospel in the 16th chapter, there's a statement that is made in the 22nd verse. And it was Simon Peter that was coming against the Lord, saying to him, rebuking him. You remember what he said to him? He said, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." He was saying that you're not going to suffer. You're not going to die on a cross. You're not going to happen. That's just not going to happen that way. You know, that might be reassuring to many people. Oh, you're not going to die. It won't be that bad. Everything's going to be fine. We've said it, have we not? What did Jesus reply? "Get thee behind me, Satan." Because that's exactly who put the words into the heart of Simon Peter as a man that had no vision of spirituality, only had human wisdom. It would be later, you can find in the Word of God, that Satan uses Judas. The Bible says that he entered into Judas. You know, it's even those that walk close to God sometimes are being used of Satan. It's those that spend time with God. They can actually become channels of satanic verses, satanic statements, devices, whatever he might use. You say, "Well, that's just not possible." Yeah, it is. I think we have ample proof through all of history that it has been used for anti-Christian conduct by the expressions, by the sentiments that have been taken. Do we not recall the Dark Ages? Do you not recall the drowning of people? And if they weren't guilty, they wouldn't drown. Well, I think if you tie their hands behind their back, put them on a deal, and dunk them underwater for 10 minutes, they might be dead. Could be wrong, but I think that's what took place. You see, even the church at times has been very diabolical. Even the church has been hateful and cruel. And it has spanned out through all the centuries. So why do you get on these kind of things? Well, I get on these kind of things because I still hear statements being made today. And unfortunately, sometimes those statements are even made in our midst. That they sound good, but they're not God. They're not murderous spite, like we heard when he said, "If you be the Son of God." They weren't like that. They weren't the malice of the chief priests. They weren't the envy of the Pharisees. They weren't any one of those things. But that's actually what was reflected. The depth of wickedness that was in their hearts can still, I truly believe this, can still infect the church today. And we need to be on our guard. We need to watch what we believe. We need to watch who we listen to. So I ask you, what do you believe? What do you believe is God saying to you? Does it have to affect your attitude? Yeah, it does. It's the way you say it. You know, that's why I'm not big on text messages. You say, "Well, you don't know how." Yeah, I know how. I just refuse to do it. I love you, though. You're so sweet. You send me a text message, why don't you just call me? Just tell me. I want to hear your voice. I want to hear how you mean what you say. You know, text message may be great, but it does not tell me. I cannot hear the inflection of the voice that says everything that I want to know. Because there's sometimes your attitude may be happy and go lucky and everything's fine. Or it may be, "I'm ticked at you, buddy." I've heard a lot of "I'm ticked at you, buddies," I promise you. I've heard those things. But we cannot afford to make assumptions that are unbiblical. We can't afford to do those kind of things. Just listen to the taunt. "If he be the Son of God, well, he'll come down." That was one of the taunts at the cross. "If he be the King of Israel, let him come down and we'll believe." Yeah, that was one of the statements that was made. If he saved others, he can surely save himself. Can I tell you this? None of these things, not one of these things, he never did any of them. He didn't come down from that cross. He didn't do any one of those things. Well, if God didn't deliver him, then really he didn't have any delight in him. That was the sediment of the wickedness that was taking place when Jesus was dying on the cross for me. That was the attitude. That's what was being pushed forward at him. But I believe today also there are some traces of that still. I think it still exists today. We know better. We know that Jesus died for the sins of the entire world. We know that when we sang the song about the blood and the body, that, you know, the term is substantiation. Jesus didn't expect them to eat his body like a cannibal and drink his blood, okay? That's not what it was meant by that. It was very symbolic to say that my blood has been shed for you for the remission of sin. This is the body I have sacrificed for you that you might live. You see, even Simon Peter couldn't fathom the fact that Jesus would ever have to go through that kind of suffering. The apostles couldn't even believe that he was actually killed on that cross. What happened to their faith? What happened to their confidence that they had before that? Well, I can tell you what happened. What happens to yours when bad things come your way? Sometimes our faith, sometimes our confidence, well, it's literally shattered. You remember the theories? I don't know if I read things like this. Maybe some of you have read the same thing about Judas. Remember, why did Judas do what he did? Why did he betray Jesus? Why did he accept the 30 pieces of silver? But better is, why did he come back and throw them at the feet? Why did he come back and cast them? I have done terrible things, is what he said. Some people say, well, it was to force Jesus' hand. It was to make him stand up and admit that he was the king and that his kingdom was coming into play right then. Accept your kingship. Because Judas didn't really believe that he would ever be tortured. He didn't believe that he'd go through the scourging. He certainly didn't believe that he would die. In his heart, in his mind, he reasoned like many of us reason at times. Why should he submit to this? Ever thought that? Ever thought, why would you let the enemies win? That's not a God thing. You know, that shows you're weak. You don't let the enemy win. We always want to rise up and punch somebody in the nose. We want to go, we're going to bomb you first before you get a chance to bomb us. Why didn't he call 10,000 angels? Can we sing that song, Terrence? Get that chorus going there? We'll get that one going. Okay, good. But it didn't stop anything. And the crucifixion still took place. You know why? Why would God allow this? Even though this is sometimes is what we think even today. Well, if he would have been the Son of God, but obviously he wasn't because he died. Well, that just proves he was just like any other man. So how do you believe that? Think of the two men on the road to Emmaus. Remember that? After the crucifixion? They're on the road to Emmaus. Jesus has risen from the dead. He joins them on the walk to Emmaus. Emmaus is not that far from Jerusalem. It's a short walk. I mean, you know, because that's all they had in that day. They didn't have any cars, so they're walking along. Do you remember how they looked at what took place? Remember how they remembered the very crucifixion? They saw everything. This is their statement in Luke's Gospel in the 24th chapter, verse 21. We trusted, past tense. We trusted that it had been he who should have redeemed Israel. What does that say to me today? We trusted? No, we're not trusting anymore. He's dead. Where you been? That's what they were asking Jesus that time. Where have you been? Don't you know that this is what took place? He was killed at Calvary, all these things. It tells me that the Son of Man came back. He came back from the grave and found no faith on earth. Could you imagine that? Giving your life for the ransom of all of us and all of those in history. He went through the suffering and the death And all of that had taken place while the suffering and death of their faith had died also. Does our faith die when we see suffering? Do we cling to God, or do we run away from the place that God meets? How many have been disillusioned in life with something that has taken place? Where do they go? They don't come to the church. They say, well, that's God. I don't want to be part of it. My friends, it's been named among Christians. God's not treating me fairly. Donna, does God treat people fairly? Every day and lovingly. Can I see the end of it? No. Do I know what he's doing? No, I don't know what he's doing. Do you know? If you do, after I get done, would you mind coming up and sharing it with me? I'd really like to know. Inquisitive minds like to know. What is God doing? Why doesn't God hear our prayers? Why doesn't he deliver you from your pain? Why doesn't God spare innocent lives? Why aren't you God? You have the answers, you think. But are they God's answers? Most of us accept theories at times. There's one. It pays to be righteous. I agree with that, don't you? Do you agree with that? Yeah, your head goes like this when you agree. Some of you are going to go, they need some more coffee. That's all I can say to them. They just got to have some more coffee to get them going there. But don't you agree with that, though? It pays to be righteous. How about obedience? Obedience to God's will implies God's favor. And it does. We are to be obedient to everything that he said. That's his command to every one of us. We are to do that. But there comes one more with this. When bad things happen to good people, where's God? Where's God? God is where he's always been. God is with his loving grace, putting his arms around the very people that are suffering through that. God is right there, loving them, as he does each one of us when we go through things. The problem is Satan wants us to get our eyes off on ourselves and not on him. He wants us to get our eyes off into the world as if they have the answer. When he says, come into the fellowship of other believers, draw the strength that I have given them so that it will become your strength. Do the things that would be good for you, but it comes from my word, and it comes from the love that I have for you. Well, if there was a God, he wouldn't allow that. Or maybe you're like Job's friends. Curse God and die. Oh, I was wife. And not his friends. His friends said, oh, there has to be sin in your life. It's got to be sin somewhere. Wouldn't happen to a righteous person, wouldn't it? I think if you were more righteous, you might suffer more. But this is what I believe. It's just what I believe. When I was a kid, we used to make statements like, went on a playground, cheaters never prosper. You ever say that? Yeah, everybody said it at one time or another. Cheaters never prosper. Can I tell you something? They do prosper. Yeah, they do. They get right on. How about honesty is the best policy? You ever said that? You ever thought that? I have. I've been right there with it. Do you know sometimes honesty is disastrous? Yeah, it brings about results that you just didn't want. But can I tell you this? Cheaters don't prosper when it comes to judgment. And honesty is always what God is looking for. It may be brutal, it may be so hard, but it is what God wants. God wants us to be honest, he wants us to be righteous, because eternal blessings are attached to all of that. It's what God does. And I know this, honesty and righteousness always gives me inner peace. And when I don't say it exactly the way I should have said it, I don't have peace. Now, you may be different, but that's what I believe. God never offered me immunity from pain, and he didn't offer you the very things. He never said, oh, you're a Christian, you're my child, there won't be any suffering, there will not be any pain. Do you realize that the apostles were never given that? They were never granted immunity. In fact, they got exactly the opposite of that. They got hardships. They got sufferings. They got persecution. They got killed. For the name of Jesus, that's what happened. Now, if you deny the name of Jesus, well, you probably could live. I still think about that little girl that was killed by two guys that went crazy in a school, and she would not deny Jesus, and she died for her faith. I still think about Colorado in that regard. I would like to know how her parents looked at that. I never heard, maybe some of you had heard that, what had taken place at Columbine. How her parents saw that. I could understand as a parent, if you just would have said, I was mistaken, she might have been alive. But that's not what she said. Her faith was so strong, she said, I don't know whether she thought that they would actually kill her or not, but she said, I'm not backing up on Jesus. And she died. Why would God allow that to take place? I guess one reason that I would never forget it. There would be on my heart, even today, the very statement that was made. What was given to the apostle? Through much tribulation, not ease, not roses, not all the things. Can you imagine being present at the cross? How about you? If you stood at the foot of that hill, Golgotha, Calvary, and watched those men die, at the base of that hill. No deliverance. All the terrible things that took place. All the horror of the entire event. The shame. All the things that was done. The suffering. And you'd hear Jesus cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? What would you have thought? How many of us could have stomached that? You know what I would have been doing? I've been going, and he could have called 10,000 angels. Lord, it's time for the angels. Time for somebody to come riding in with a white hat on a white horse and get him off that cross. But that's my natural feelings. It's how I would look at something like that. You know why he did that? Why he died? Because he was the Son of God. And no, he could not come down from that cross. Oh, was he able to? Yeah, he was able to. But because he was himself, and he never saved himself from anything, and because he suffered for us, and he always did, that's what he did. He never used divine powers to walk away from issues that were coming his way. He didn't have to defend himself, but he defended us over and over and over again. You see, there's no doubt in my mind that people are going to suffer for righteousness. No doubt. I've seen it. I've watched it happen. And like I said before, if we were more righteous and more faithful, we might suffer more. I'm not saying that's what always happens, but I'm saying it makes sense to me. But I know this, you wouldn't suffer in bitterness. You would suffer in absolute joy. Counted as a privilege to suffer for the name of Jesus. Was that not God's purpose for the cross? Was that not his purpose and the suffering to fulfill the very things that he said would take place? He said, well, this is such a bummer of a message, Jim. What I believe. And I face things every day that God allows to come to me to make sure that I believe it. When I hear people say, well, it should be this way. Well, my friend, it's not. The Word of God is very clear. The cross was the only way of conquest over sin and death. The two greatest forces that works against humanity, sin and death. Our souls would never, ever triumph if it were not for the defeat that was dealt on that cross. It just wouldn't happen. Whether church history backs me up, I know it does. Whether proof of suffering, and I've seen it over and over again. But I know too that suffering so many times has advanced the cause of Christ far greater than all the good things, all the evangelism, all the rest of it. It's when we suffer and we're able to say, I praise God. He has been merciful to me. I love Brother Dave, one of my dearest friends. I love his quote that he gives of the Oxford, those that were martyrs in that day. And I had to write it down because I've enjoyed it so much. Be of good cheer, Brother Ridley. We shall this day light such a candle in England as by the grace of God shall never be put out. Now, he does it far better than I do it, but I love it because they believe being burned at the stake, their lives, and it never has been put out because of that. Satan's worked hard, but I believe what Paul wrote to Timothy, and he said these very things, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. And we will. It doesn't mean you got to go sign up to be a martyr. He's not asking that, but he's saying, are you prepared to face issues that will come your way? Are you prepared to give God the glory when things aren't going the way you think they ought to go? Are you prepared to say, I'm not going to be a natural man because a natural man says, come down from the cross. That's what I would say as a natural man. I say, come down from that cross. Steer away from any trouble. Don't you dare have burdens. Burdens are no good. We don't need any burdens in this house. Put them on somebody else. Give them to the people that deserve them. You know those wily people, they deserve them. Give them to them. Take the path of least resistance. Take care of yourself. You say, well, there's nothing wrong with that. It is when you think you can do it. And you don't realize it's God and God alone that takes care of us. It's a fun statement. I use it. I've said it many times. But I've also used, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And I've had to quote what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10. He that loveth his life shall lose it. But he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it and shall keep it unto eternal life. My friends, it's what I believe. And as your pastor, there may be times in life that I may tell you that you're missing it. I hope you still love me. But I'm going to tell you. If I think it's unscriptural, I will tell you that. And my challenge will always be, show me from the Word. Don't show me from what Dr. So-and-so said. Don't tell me health and wealth is going to be the key to your happiness just because my buddy down in Houston says it. I love that guy. He's been the source of many great things in my life. But show me from the Word of God what you believe. And my friends, I will back you. Because our spirits will bear witness with each other. If thou be the Son of God, pun on that one. He was the Son of God. And if he wanted to come down from the cross, he could have. But because he was the Son of God, he stayed on that cross. He stayed on the cross for you and for me. We would not know eternal life. And today I wouldn't know what I believed if he didn't stay on that cross. Can we pray together?